Judy and Lyle's grandson was here this morning, Nick, and Nick is a journeyman now, electrician, after going through 5 years of study, and he moved to Bowling Green. I'm going down to do his wedding here in a few days, and Nick was working yesterday at the Corvette plant as an electrician, and one of the fellows he was working with died while they were working together. He tried to bring him back. He did the CPR. They brought out the paddles to shock his heart to bring him back. And he was pronounced dead at the hospital. It tells you something about life and how quickly that life can end. But we're glad that you're here tonight, and we hope that you'll follow along with what we have to say tonight. It might be helpful and useful in our lives. I guess it was a freshman in college that you would learn a little Shakespeare. All the world's a stage, and men and women are simply players. They have their exits and entrances. One man in his time plays many parts. And no doubt, life is a drama. And there are roles to be played. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes tonight, about roles in life and about who makes the assignments. The sermon will be divided into three questions tonight. Does God have the right to choose who will fill roles? What choices has He made in the past? And on what basis? And what choices has He made today that are relevant to us? So we'll look at these, and then the lesson will be yours. First of all, does God have the right to choose who will fill what roles? It depends on whether God created man or whether man created God. There was a time when people looked to God for all answers. We see now in the modern age, and I suppose now we're in the postmodern age, but in the modern age, science was of such a way that they were able to explain storms. They were able to explain the fertility in the fields, about how things grow. And even fertility with life. And a lot of people felt like, well, we just don't need God anymore, because we have the answers. We have the answers to every question of life anymore. We don't need God. In fact, there's a lot of people that feel that the roles were really switched and man made up this idea of God. A lot of people talk about that. About that man was stronger than woman, so he wrote in this book that a woman is to be in subjection to a man. Or they wanted to be with one woman, so he wrote in this book called the Bible that this woman ought to stay with this man. And on in the modern age it would go. Concerning what people believe. But we believe that God created man. And in doing so, we see that if God is the creator, then there is no question concerning, does God have the right to choose who will fill what role? In Romans chapter 9, we'll go to Romans chapter 9 several times tonight. But in Romans 9, and in verse 20 and 21, it says, "But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Does not the potter have the power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor?" There are choices that God has made. We turn over again to Romans chapter 9. This one isn't on the chart behind me, but in your Bible. In Romans chapter 9, and in verse 10 through 13, Romans chapter 9, and verses 10 through 13. In Romans chapter 9, and in verse 10, it says, "Not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born, and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who called." Verse 12, "It was said to her, 'The older will serve the younger.' Just as it is written, 'Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated.'" All this is speaking about in Romans chapter 9 is that of concerning the fact of God's right to make choices. And in this situation here, he was going to choose who the ancestor of Jesus was going to be. And that was simply a choice that God made because he had the right to make it. Not only that, but the Levites for divine service. In Numbers and in chapter 1, Numbers chapter 1 and in verse 50, Numbers chapter 1 and in verse 50. Numbers chapter 1 in verse 50 it says, "And you shall appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, and over all its furnishings and over all that belongs to it. And they shall carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings, and they shall take care of it, and they shall also camp around the tabernacle." In chapter 18 of Numbers, and in verses 21 and 22, Numbers 18, verse 21 and 22, it says to the sons of Levi, "Behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance, in return for their service which they performed, the service of the tent of meeting." Then in verse 22 it says, "And the sons of Israel shall not come near the tent of meeting again, or they will bear sin and die." That was God's choice. That was God's choice. These people, the Levites, they were God's choice for this service. And anybody who came and got around those things, they were going to die. Now we go a little bit further. In Exodus chapter 28 and in verse 1. Exodus 28 and in verse 1. He says, "Then bring near to yourself Aaron your brother, and his sons with him, from among the sons of Israel to minister as a priest to me, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. But in Numbers 18, and in verse 2 and 3, it says in verse 2 and 3, and bring with you also your brothers, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined to you and serve you while you and your sons with you are before the tent of the testimony. And they shall thus attend to your obligation and the obligation of all the tent. But, he says, they shall not come near. Only Aaron, only his sons, his lineage. But they shall not come near the furnishings of the sanctuary and the altar, or both they and you will die. Now this is talking about the Levites. The Levites, they had special service, but at the same time, they couldn't come near the furnishings. Or they were going to die. It was a choice. It was a choice that God made. David's descendants is king. In 2 Samuel and in chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And in verse 12 and 13, 2 Samuel 7, verse 12 and 13. And when your days are complete, you shall lie down with your fathers. I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I shall establish the throne of his kingdom forever. From David's descendants, as the kingdom split apart that we're talking about right now, the Jeroboam took the northern kingdom, and Rehoboam took the southern. We see that David's descendants reigned during that time. I think except for the queen, Athaliah, for a couple of years. But other than that, when we see there was sin, we see that David's descendants reigned as king. Miraculous gifts over in chapter 12. They were having a problem with spiritual gifts because it seemed like tongue speaking was the thing that was in. Everybody evidently wanted to speak in tongues. If you had the gift of helps, that just didn't seem too exciting for a lot of people. So there was a problem here concerning that, and he deals with the problem of spiritual gifts here. But in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and in verse 11, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and in verse 11, it says in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. He wills. There was a choice that God made. Now these choices, not the basis of worthiness. We see that Levi, he gets in trouble. He gets in trouble a couple of times. We see that concerning the worthiness of Aaron, he's the one that built the golden calf and led the people away. So it's not worthiness, but it is God's choice. It was God's choice. that the Levites take care of the tabernacle. It was God's choice that Aaron and his sons be the priest and high priest. Superiority. You look at the superiority of Jesus. Bob's talking about that in the study on Hebrews right now. And we've seen that over and over again since chapter 1. And then you see Caiaphas over here. Just a mean, disgusting man. After Lazarus was raised from the dead, he immediately wanted to plan on killing Jesus. But still, he's the one that could go into the Holy of Holies here on the earth. Jesus couldn't go into the Holy of Holies here on the earth. That was the argument that we're getting ready to make right now in the book of Hebrews, in fact. But Jesus is in the Holy of Holies, which we call heaven. That's the idea. The church is in the holy place, and Jesus is in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And he's going to make that argument as time goes on. Or God's partiality. In chapter 9 again, chapter 9, and in verses 14 through 16, Romans chapter 9, verses 14 through 16. And again, the chapter is about God's right to make the choice. God's right to make the choice concerning salvation. They're saying, we're of the seed of Abraham. And he's saying, no, you need to be in Christ in order to be saved. Well, in chapter 9 again, in verse 14 through 16, Romans chapter 9, verses 14 through 16. What shall we say then? There is no justice with God, is there? May it never be. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy. I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. God's the one who's going to make the choices. Why did God assign roles? Next question. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. He didn't want a disorder that would result from competition. In fact, we see this occurring over in Numbers and in chapter 16 and 17. In Numbers chapter 16 and 17, there was a group of people led by basically Korah. And they were asking some questions to Moses. Verse 3, they assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone far enough. For all the congregation are holy. Now it's true. I mean, he said that you were going to be a holy nation. So in that way, that's true. For all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst, so why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? And when you get down through here, beginning at verse 15, it says that Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, do not regard their offering. For I have not taken a single donkey from them, nor have I done any harm to them. Moses said to Korah, you and all your company be present before the Lord tomorrow, both you and they along with Aaron. And each one of you take a fire pan and put a censer in it, and you shall bring his censer before the Lord, 250 fire pans, so that you and Aaron shall bring his fire pan. They took it, they stood at the doorway of the tent of meeting. In verse 19 it says, thus Korah assembled all the congregation with them at the doorway of the tent of meeting. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, separate yourself from among the congregation that I may consume them instantly. In fact, in chapter 17, he says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get all 12 tribes. You're all going to have a walking stick each. You're going to take that walking stick, we're going to put it in the tabernacle. And whoever stick butts, that's the one. That's the one that's going to be the high priest. And of course, Aaron's rod. It budded, blossomed, had almonds on it the next morning. And the Lord told them, you put that in the Ark of the Covenant to remind the people who the high priest is. Who the high priest is. Because it was God's choice. This is God's choice. Or the throne of the northern kingdom. We won't get into this. Danny talked about this last week a little bit. When he said he looked at a list and saw the kings of Judah and then the kings of Israel. He said all of a sudden he'd see the kings of Israel. He'd be bad, 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 bad. And that was true. 9 assassinations in the northern kingdom, to where the sovereign changed, to where the sovereign changed families all the time concerning that. God does not want his servants today competing for these types of roles. See, God has made the male, the leader of the home, over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. I'll just read it to you. It says, husbands, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. Does that mean there's superiority? No, this is just the choice that God made. There's a lot of wives that are smarter than their husbands. There's a lot of women in the church that are more spiritual than their husbands. But this was the choice that God made here. That man be the leader of the home. Or male leadership in the church. That men are to lead in public. Over in 1 Timothy and in chapter 2. 1 Timothy in chapter 2. And in verses 12 through 15. 1 Timothy 2, verse 12 through 15. But I do not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created, then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. But women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. Maybe men as elders to where they're married. I know a lot of men that are good men. They have people that seek their counsel all the time. But sometimes they're single. They can't be an elder. Or those that might have a man and a woman. It used to be a preacher, Floyd Thompson. He preached out in Santa Ana, California for probably 50 years. And just a wonderful man. Had a godly wife named Ruth. She wrote many, many Bible class material that many of the churches have used over the years. And people sought their counsel all the time from that local church and from other places as well. But he couldn't be an elder because they never had any children. So we understand there are roles. There are roles that God has set forth. And salvation is exclusively for those that are in Christ. Again, back to Romans 9, that's the argument that's being made. In Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 3 beginning. Ephesians 1 verse 3 beginning. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestows on us in the Beloved. In Him we have the redemption through His blood, and the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in Him, all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, in view of the administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in the heaven, things on the earth, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works after all things, after the counsel of His will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him through or with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." Salvation exclusively for those that are in Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12. It says, "There is no salvation. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." And then in John 14 and in verse 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's a lot of wonderful people in the world. There's a lot of wonderful people that will do almost anything for you. They take care of their families. They take care of their moms and dads when they get older. They do things in the community. And people ask me sometimes, well, don't you think that person just has a chance of going to heaven? Not according to the Bible, unless he or she is in Christ. You have to be in Christ. So we'd encourage you tonight that as we've thought about this for just a few minutes, that are you prepared to accept the choices that God has made? We'd encourage you that if you need to respond to the gospel anyway, to come right now while together we stand and we sing.